Well, today we're going to continue in our root series, and we're talking about spiritual growth. How do we grow? And I love these kind of series myself because I always want to kind of challenge myself and push myself, you know, closer to Christ. And so, but we're talking about spiritual growth in these series, and we've got a couple scriptures that we have been using that we've based this off of. First one is in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6, it says, "And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And so through this series, we've been talking about gardening and growing roots, and I've well established that I'm horrible at gardening. And for y'all who were here the first week, got to see my garden, a picture of it. We're not going to show that again because it's awesome. I don't want you to be jealous of my garden. But I think it's actually like taller than me now. I mean, it's really getting up there with weeds. And so, but we're talking about growing our roots down into Jesus. And, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, they can pray a prayer and then everything's going to be okay. You know, they think they can pray the sinner's prayer and just, okay, life's okay, you know, I get to go to heaven, and that's it. And that's so far from the truth of what Christ wants for us in our relationship with Him, and that it's an ongoing, ever-evolving thing that happens. And, I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, getting up at the altar and telling my wife, you know, I love you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and then that's all that we ever do. And then it's like, we go as life is normal. You know, I mean, that just wouldn't work as a marriage, you know, that you just have this one-time commitment thing that you talk about, and then that's it. You know, and everything just stays the same. But that's how a lot of people treat their Christian faith, is that I prayed a prayer, you know, and so I'm good. But God wants us to continue to grow and continue to grow deep into Him and apply God's Word to our life, and God wants to change us. We use this phrase around here, God loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you where you are. You know, He wants to improve your life. He wants to break those chains off your life. You know, He wants you to break those bad habits, and it's the power of Christ that does that in our life. And so, but that takes us putting some effort into our Christian faith. And that's what this series is about, is helping us to grow roots down into Him. Psalms 1:1-3, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers." See, I want that to be the picture of my life, that I am like that tree planted by the river, to where I'm always producing fruit. I'm always producing something good out of my life, to where I can be a good influence on people, and I can invest in people. And that's what I want for my life. And I hope that's what you want for your life as well as a Christian. And so as we've been talking about roots and gardening, we first started off talking about the power of the seed and how we need to put God's Word in our life, because that is the seed that's going to change our hearts, is that we need to take God's Word and put it in our hearts and let it grow and let it produce something in us. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. And those are the things we want in our life, but so many times we don't find those in our lives. We find ourselves in the other list a lot of times. And you know, it's like, how do I get there? Well, it's applying God's Word. It's putting that Word in your heart and in your life and letting it grow and produce something in you. And so we talked about that the first week. The next week we talked about the soil, in that we talked about the parable of the sower and the four different types of soil, or the four different types of heart of man. And it's interesting that it's the same Word of God that was planted in each of those soils, but it did something different in each one. And how we need to take care of the soil of our heart. And we ask the question is, how is your soil? And so today I want to throw a couple other questions out to you today to consider when it comes to gardening our life in our Christian life. And, you know, we've been talking about the inside of us so far, talking about the seed that we're sowing. You know, what are we putting in? How is our heart? And so today I want to take it outside of us and look at the garden of where we are planted at. You know, what's going on around us? And so I want you to consider two questions today is, where are you planted and what is planted around you? See, we were never meant to be alone in the garden. Put up this picture real quick. Yeah, that one. Yeah. Okay. We'll get there in a second. Here we go. But we were never meant to... Y'all let me know when it's up there. But we were never meant to grow alone in our garden. In that we... You know, I've heard so many people... It's up there now. Okay. This is what a lot of people's Christian lives look like. It's like they're the one thing growing and there's nothing around them. See, we were never meant to have life like this. You know, I've heard so many people, you know, say, I don't need the church. You know, I can worship on my own. I can go online and I can watch all these preachers and I do church at home. Well, this is your life if you do that. And that's not the way that life's supposed to look for us, in that we're trying to do it alone. Because the concept of what the church is all about is us growing together and helping each other in life. I read an article. I've read more about gardening in this series than I have ever, I guess. And apparently that's why my garden doesn't look right. But I began to read an article, and it's on a website called Burpee. I don't know what that has to do with seed and growing gardens, but it reminds me of an exercise that I never do. Because they're awful. Have you ever done a burpee? That's ridiculous. Anyway, let me read you part of this article that I read about plants. And this is just talking about plants. It says, plants need good companions to thrive. Except for growth and fruiting, plants are relatively idle objects. They are rooted in one spot and don't seem to have much control over their environment. In fact, however, relationships between plants are varied, similar to relationships between people. In plant communities, certain plants support each other, while others just don't get along. Does that sound like life to you? Like there's some people that go good together, that work together and they support each other, and others are just like, ew. But plants, like people, compete for resources. Almost any article on companion planting references the Native Americans, three sister planting. Has anybody ever heard of three sister planting? There's a few of you out there that's heard of this. I've never heard of this before, but it's really cool how God works and how, like, nature reflects Him. But listen to this. It says, this age-old grouping involves growing corn, beans, and squash, and often pumpkins in the same area. As the corn stalk grows, the beans naturally find support by climbing up the stalk. Beans, as all legumes, fix nitrogen in the soil, which supports the large nutritional needs of the corn. Squash grows rapidly, and the large squash leaves shade out the weeds and serve as natural weed block. Good plant companions work in support of each other. Doesn't that sound like life? See, we need to have good companions in our life that support, that complement each other. I call these mutually beneficial relationships. See, we have all types of relationships in life. We have all kinds of different people that are around us. Some of them are friends, some of them are coworkers, some families, and just a wide variety of people that are around us. And we need to have these mutually beneficial relationships in our life, like the corn and the bean and the squash. And that to where, as a community, that we work together to support each other. And I believe this is the picture of what Christ wanted when He started the church. I believe that's the picture. That was the idea behind it, as that we as a group of people are here for each other to help us to live the Christian life, so we're not in the field by ourselves out here and nothing to protect us, nothing to, you know, aid us, giving us nitrogen and all those kind of things. We're not meant to grow alone. But we are meant to grow in community. And so, let me ask you these questions. Where are you planted, and what is planted around you? Do you have these mutually beneficial relationships in your life? We're going to talk about this today. And first, I want to talk about what do these relationships look like according to God's Word. And we find this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7 is where it starts. It said, "The end of the world is coming soon." I love statements like this in the Bible because you know something really good's coming next. This is some of those preparation verses. Like, hey, the end is coming. Here's what we need to think about. Here's what we need to do. It says, "Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all," oh, there's another one of those good statements, "continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve" who? Another. To serve other people. See, this is what we're talking about in this today is as the body, as the church, are we being purposeful in what we plant around us or what we are allowing to grow around us? Because we need to have those kind of relationships that we benefit from. And we need to be in those kind of relationships that other people benefit from us as well. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's givers and there's takers. Which one are you? Are you one of those people when people see you coming around, like, oh boy, I wonder what they want this time? Y'all don't know anybody like that, right? So my question is, how are your relationships? Do you have those relationships that are beneficial, that are supporting, that are life-giving? And now, this isn't one of those things like, hey, you know, you don't need to have any friends that are not Christians. You need to surround yourself by Christians and only Christian stuff, and you need to put yourself in a bubble and don't let anybody touch you because you might die. That's not what we're saying here. Because I believe that God places us in our job and in particular places in our life because He wants to use us for His glory to reach out to hurting people. And so we have to have relationship with people who are not beneficial for us necessarily. But it needs to be one of those things to where they're not affecting you, but you're affecting them with the gospel. But do you have those kind of relationships that are supporting in your life, that help you? See, we have a great group of guys in this church right now. And I'm going to brag on some of these guys. I'm not going to call anybody by name, but I'm excited about it because as a guy, most guys don't have a lot of close friends. It's just the nature of whatever. I don't understand it, but guys are not typically given towards just like opening up to people and talking and sharing feelings and doing life together. And, you know, lots of times we're busy. You know, we got work, we got to take care of the yard, we got to do this, we got to raise the kids. You know, and women are too. I'm not saying that women's lives are easy by any stretch of the imagination. Y'all beat us big time, man. Y'all are crazy what y'all can do. It's ridiculous. Y'all can multitask. I have to do one thing at a time, you know, and I barely get that done. But there's a great group of guys in this church right now that I want to be a part of. It's like I'm kind of on the outside, I'm looking in, like, I want to get in that group. And there was a Bible study that I went to a couple Thursday nights ago, and that, you know, they asked me to come lead a Bible study, and I got more out of it than they did. Man, just being around a group of people that are growing, that are trying, that are trying to live for God, that are trying to do the right thing, and they're banding together to do it as a group, not as individuals. And it's this thing to where they speak into each other's lives. And one week, this guy, you know, he's on fire for God. He's read and he's prayed up and he's ready to go. And there's people that come in that are struggling, and he encourages those people. The next week, it might be these people that are ready and this guy's struggling. And it's this mutual benefiting relationship to where, hey, we're on this path. We're going in the same direction. Let's help each other get there. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it needs to be. And we should be surrounding ourselves with great support. I read a book by John Maxwell called The 360 Degree Leader. And this is written towards kind of the middle management guy. You know, he's not the CEO. He's not the man in charge, but he's not the low man. And he's kind of in the middle, and he's trying to lead. And so this book is talking about how to influence the people above you, to influence the people that are on the same level as you, and influence the people that are below you, or the people that you're leading. And I believe that this concept is very biblical, because that's the way our lives need to be as Christians, that we need to be surrounding ourselves 360 degree with support, and that we need to have people that are investing in us. You know, we need to have those mentor type people in our life to where, you know, they are where you want to be. And so, you know, I want that person to invest in me. I want to know what you know. I want to do the things that you're doing, because you're going where I want to go. And, you know, the thing about mentors is, like, you can't really just walk up to someone and say, hey, will you mentor me? Because you know? People look at you like, that's weird. Sure, why not? You know, but you can have these relationships in your life, and they never know that they're mentoring you. See, there are certain people in my life that are where I want to be. They're ahead of me, and they're where I want to be, and doing some things that I want to do, that I make sure that I get around those people. I hang out with them. You know, I spend some time with them. And when I'm with them, I ask them questions. I say, hey, how are you doing that? How did this work, man? How did you get to this place? And I'm in that place to where I can ask questions and have relationship with them, to where it's not like a meeting, like, hey, can I come to your office? And I want to ask you a bunch of questions. But it's within relationship that they are mentoring me, and they don't even know they're doing it. Now, some of them do, but a lot of them don't. And that's what we're talking about, is that we need to have relationships like this. And so we need people who are investing in us. See, we need to have people that are in the same boat as us. These are the people that are struggling with the same thing you're struggling with. These are the people that are kind of right there with you. You know, these are your friends. These are the people that know you. You know, I know a lot of people, but I need people that I know. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, we're Facebook friends. I know you. I know you exist. But I need people that can look at me and know me, that know my stuff, that know, like, when I walk in the room and something's wrong, they know. Like, that's not you. What's going on? You know, we got to have those kind of people in our lives to where it's like, man, we're in this thing together, man. Let's go together and let's live life. And it's those people that you're surrounded by most of the time that are going to determine the course of your life. And I tell teenagers this all the time. The people you hang out with, that's who you're going to become. You know, if you're hanging out with the party folks, you're going to be the party folk. You know, but if you want something different, you need to get around some different people. And those people that you're around the most, I mean, you need to be on the same page with them. Like, hey, if I want to live my life for God, if I want to grow, you know, if I want to for God to use my life for His glory, then I need to get around people that have that same mindset. And let's do life together. I mean, let's get together, let's talk, let's have coffee. Let's have Bible studies. Let's do these things, and to where it's we're investing in each other, to where we're pouring into each other, and it's not like a mentor or something like that. But it's like, hey man, I'm struggling today. Pray for me. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Help me out. You know, call me out on it. You know, you got to help me. And the third type of people we need in our lives is people that we invest in. And this is the one that scares people, because a lot of times people are like, what am I going to give anybody? What am I going to teach somebody? But let me tell you something. If Christ has changed your life, if you've given your life to Him, He's changed your life, He's brought you out of some stuff, you have something to offer, because you have Christ. And if you can offer nothing else but Christ, you have something huge to offer. See, there is somebody out there that is where you were a year ago, that you can help get to where you are now. It might not seem like a big jump for you, but man, someone just needs that one word, that one thing, that person praying for them, that person saying, hey, you know, when I was struggling with that, this is what I did. These are the scriptures that I stood on. And that might be the catalyst that changes their life. See, we need to have people that we're investing in, that we're pouring into. See, you know, when you come to church, you know, there's times to receive. Receive from God, you know, receive from people, to sit down and listen. But there's got to be a point somewhere in your life to where you stop receiving and you start giving. And that you're just not constantly building up and building up. You know, we have so many Christians that are reservoirs, that they just want to get all of God that they can, and they want to learn all of this stuff, and they want to shove it in there, but then they don't do anything with it, and it becomes useless. Faith without works is dead. There's got to be a time in our lives to where whatever's God invested in us, we need to be able to dump that out and to help somebody else and let that flow through us. But see, a lot of people are scared to give out because then that's all I got. You know, I mean, I gave you all the wisdom I have. I have nothing else to give now. What now? See, there's this awesome principle in the Bible. It says, if you give, then you shall receive. I believe that as you give out what God has given you, then He's going to give you more. And so as I'm investing in people, and this happens, I mean, when you invest in people, you feel stuff going out of you. You know, it's just like, I'm giving you this, and lots of times you feel empty. And a lot of people stop right there and just like, I just feel empty now, what do I do? But we need to get back into the presence of God. We need to get back into the Word of God and let Him fill us back up so that we can go do that again. And it builds our dependence on God to be our source instead of my own wisdom and my own experiences. But as I depend on Him and I'm willing to invest in the people that He brings into my life, as I'm willing to pour into them and to invest into them, then He comes and He brings me a little bit more. And I get a little bit more wisdom. And I get a little bit more understanding of God's Word. And God builds me through me giving out. Now that concept does not make sense in the world. Because in the world, if I give you something, then I'm out of that, right? But God is always there to refill, to refuel, to rebuild you, because He knows that He can trust you with what He's given you. And as you are faithful to give out, then He's faithful to refill and to grow you more and more. Hey, if you want some wisdom, start giving out the wisdom you got. If you need friends in your life, man, start being a friend. It's the concept of giving and receiving. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lots of times you hear this when it comes to money, but it works all across. It's a principle that works all across your life. If there's something I need in my life, then I need to give what I have and so that God can give me more. Now, I'm not going to take up an offering saying, give me all that you got in the bucket, and God, I'm not saying that. That's not this message, because I don't believe that's accurate. But what I'm saying is, God, things have been invested in you, and God has built you to this point, and that you need to start giving out. Otherwise, you become stagnant and stinky. Has anybody ever been around a stagnant, stinky Christian? It's not a pretty sight. Usually what happens, and we've seen this time and time again, is that you see someone who's on fire for God, and they want to learn, and they want to grow, and that's great. We encourage that. And then they just keep putting in, and they go find this preacher, and they listen to this, and they're putting all of this stuff on the inside of them. And if they never do anything with what's put on the inside of them, what happens is they become judgmental towards other people. Well, I know this. How come you don't know that? Well, this is what God's talking to me about. What's He talking to you about? Yeah, and it becomes this like weird, like this person is like judging you because you're not as spiritual as they are. And it's just like, dude, you stink. You're stagnant. You're not doing anything with what God's given you. And I would prefer someone who is young and growing, that's willing to give out what God's given them, instead of someone who's been in seminary and has a Master of Divinity and a doctorate in this and a doctorate in that, to stand up in front of me and tell me something that they're not doing anything with what they have. I'd rather have someone who's on fire for God, that they're just pouring God's Word into their life and just soaking everything in and just giving out what they've got. I'd rather listen to someone like that any day than a stinky Christian. Is anybody with me today? All right. But what we're talking about here, this is the purpose of the body of Christ. This is the purpose of the church. See, lots of times when we think of church, we think of Believers Community Church. We think of this organization, that organization, this church, this building, this, that, that. That's all man-made stuff. See, I want to be a part of the church that Jesus established 2,000 years ago. And when he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, that's the church that I want to be a part of. Because I love Believers Community Church. I give my life for Believers Community Church because I believe that it's a church that is after the heart of God, that is willing to do what it takes to get the gospel out the door, whether that be through serving, whether that be through preaching, whether that be living my life as Christ has changed me. I believe in this church, and that's why I'm here. That's why I dedicate my life to this church. But let me tell you something. It's not about Believers Community Church. It's about the church that Christ established 2,000 years ago. It's about the body of Christ, not the organization, the church. Because I believe this is the purpose of the church, is that so we're not that lonely thing out in the garden out by itself. But God has actually built the church so that we together as a team, as a community, can share the love of Christ to the world. That we can be that beautiful garden, that we're all growing together and we're benefiting off of each other. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, it says, "For by grace given to me, I say this to every one of you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members don't all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." See, this is the picture of the body of Christ, in that we all have a part to play in the body. And I love that he compares it to our human body. You know, when you get injured, like your knee is not working right, that affects the whole body, doesn't it? I mean, the whole body feels the pain. And this is the picture that Christ gave of the church, is that we're all one body. We're all working together. See, God created diversity. In the world we're living in right now, everybody is against diversity. I mean, it's like, if you're different than me, then I hate you. If you believe something different than me, then whatever. And we live in this country to where we're so divided based on what we believe or what we do, what color we are. Man, God created that diversity. God created the differences. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with everybody that says something. That's not what I'm trying to say here. What I'm saying is that we can find a common thing that we can all rally around, and we can rally around that, and we can work together in unity to create something awesome. In our country, we can rally around the freedom that we have as Americans, in that we have free market, that we can do what we want to do, we can worship like we want to, and let's rally around our freedoms instead of our being separated by our differences. Yeah, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that's being said out there, but why do I want to create more division when we could rally around something common? And you know, with Hurricane Harvey happening, I think this is the picture of what our country is really about, in that it doesn't matter political views, whatever, there's people helping people down there. There's people driving down there with their personal boats, using their gas money, their time, to go and help other people. And that's what our country is about. That is what I believe that makes our country strong, is that it's people loving people. It's people serving each other. And that is what unifies, would unify our country. But instead, all we see on Facebook and in the media is all this division and stuff going on. Let's bring that back together and let's rally around freedom and loving each other, and that we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to live life here and live in our freedoms. And let's rally around that as the church. Let's rally around the grace of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. See, I don't agree with every preacher out there. And that's okay. That's okay. I believe there's diversity in the body for a reason. If we can rally around the cross of Jesus Christ and His grace and His love for us, and God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and that the world needs Jesus, the world needs hope, let's rally around that and let's unify as the body of Christ, not be believers, first this, first that, this church, that church, and we all do our own things and we talk about each other. What good does that do? What good does that do? See, one thing that I hate seeing, and I see Christians doing this, and I just want to slap them with the love of Jesus in the face. See, I'm not perfect either. But I mean, in the media, I mean, we see Joel Osteen getting hammered right now. Saying, well, why didn't you open your doors? You have this multi-million-dollar, you have all of this stuff, and you live in a big mansion, all this. Why aren't you helping and doing this, this, this? And his Christians are the ones attacking him. And I'm sitting there thinking, where's the love? Where's the grace in that? Now, I don't agree with everything Joel Osteen says, and he does. But here's the thing. Joel Osteen has a voice in the body of Christ, and that's a voice, a message of hope that the world needs to hear. And I believe that he's in the body of Christ doing his part in what God's called him to do. And he has this message that he is sharing, and that thousands and thousands of people have come to know Christ because of that message. So who am I to talk ugly against him when he's on my same team? When we're trying to accomplish the same thing? See, his message might be a little bit different than mine, but if it's rallied around the cross of Jesus Christ and bringing people into the kingdom of God, man, let's band together and let's do it. You know, I don't agree with every church in this town. And I'm just going to pick random one, you know, not to pick on anybody, but, you know, let's say the Lutheran church. You know, I don't believe everything the Lutheran church believes. But if they believe in the Jesus Christ and the cross, then hey, let's hook up and let's do something. Let's win some souls for Jesus. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about. And it's supposed to be this mutually benefiting thing to where we're many members. We all have something different to do. There's diversity there. But now let's not let our diversity separate us. But let's bond together in unity around the cross. And let's be the light that Jesus needs us to be in this world. I mean, you can look at the disciples, and they were diverse in themselves, the 12. And that they had different callings. They had different things that they were equipped to do. Paul was meant to go to the Gentiles. Peter was meant to go to the Jews. Does that mean they're different and they should be against each other? No. But it's all around the one thing. And see, that's what Christ wants in the church, is he wants unity. Unity in diversity is what we're looking for. Let's look at this, and let's continue in Romans chapter 12 and see what this looks like. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep the spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Could you imagine if the church actually looked like that? Not just believers, community church, but church as a whole, all across the world, that we lived like that we honored one another, that we loved one another, that we gave grace to one another. There's nothing worse than seeing a Christian fail than other Christians attack. I mean, what is that? That's us killing the weak. Next week it might be me. What? How do I want people to respond when I fail? Do I want them to attack me? Kick me out of the church? No, I need them to love me, to use that grace to bring me back in and to bring healing into my life. And that's what I love about this church, is that you guys are wonderful at that. And that when someone fails, you rally around and you hold them up and you bring them back in, saying, yeah, you messed up, but hey, we still love you. God still has a plan for your life. Stay here. Stay here and be a part of us. And be a part of our family, because that's what we are. See, here's the thing. It takes all of us doing our part to accomplish the goal. It takes all of us doing our part. Each one of us are gifted in different ways. Each one of us are here for a different reason. See, I believe that God calls people to specific churches. I truly believe that. And see, we have this idea in our society that we need to church shop, that we need to go find a church that suits us. Well, this church gives that free coffee, man. Free coffee. They'll give me a t-shirt the first time I come. They play the songs that I like. The message stays to like 20 minutes. It's awesome. They have this group that does this. They go canoeing all the time, and I love canoeing. And so since when was church about me? The church has never been about me and what I want. But it's about God and Jesus and what He wants to do. And I believe that God called you to a specific church because that's where you fit best. That's where God wants to use you. And that's where you're going to thrive the best, is in this particular body of believers. And that body of believers might not be Believers Community Church. It might be. But I encourage you to find the place that God has called you to be and go be a part of that. Plant yourself in there, contribute, and invest in other people in that spot. Because I believe that's where you're going to grow best, and I believe that's where you're going to serve the body of Christ best, and Christ will be glorified in that. Hey, if you're called to be at the church, let's plug in. Let's grow some roots. Let's contribute. Let's do something. Let's let God use us for His glory. Because it takes all of us working together in all of our diversity and what we're called to do. You might think you don't fit. My gifting and callings, they don't fit here. I don't know what to do, but I feel called to this church. It does fit. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's figure out how you can use what God's given you to bring glory to Him and to bring people to know Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's about. See, we need to get plugged in. We need to have those life-giving relationships to where we're on the same journey. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're all going to the same place. Let's do it together in unity, and let's support each other and help each other out get there. That's what the church should be about. So let me ask you the questions. What does your garden look like? As you look around in your life and your relationships, what's planted around you? Do you have those life-giving relationships where people are speaking into you? To where you have people in your life to where you're struggling, you can call them and they're there for you. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to talk about you, but they're there for you. Do you have those people in your life to where you're pouring into them? To where you're giving what God's given you to somebody else? What does your garden look like? Who surrounds you? Are you good for each other? Man, there's some relationships that, man, it's just not good. Man, you pray about it and you might have to get out of that relationship. Are you planted in a good church? See, there's been lots said about church and people been hurt by church, and I understand that. Because you're going to a church with imperfect people that still mess up and they still sin and they still do stuff that's not right. But should that deter me from getting plugged in and doing what I'm supposed to do? See, my response is my responsibility. The way I respond to things in life is up to me. See, you can talk ugly about me all day, but how am I going to respond to that? A lot of that comes out of our heart, out of our garden. Do I have love planted in there? Do I have joy, peace? See, if I have the peace of God in my life, then when people start talking about me, it's not going to affect me as much because I have the peace of God. I have the joy of God. I know who I am in Christ. I know who God's made me to be. And yeah, I might not live up to that every single day, but I'm striving for that. And someone might point that out, that, hey, you're a hypocrite. You know, you do this, you do that. It may be truth, it may be a lie. But it shouldn't shake who I am in Christ. It shouldn't throw me off. It shouldn't throw me into bitterness and anger and where I'm going to go post on Facebook what this person said about me. My response is my responsibility. Are you plugged in? Because I believe that as you're plugged in to a local body of believers and you begin to contribute and begin to grow roots down into there, that's where God is going to grow you best. You can't grow by yourself. You can maintain probably by yourself, but I don't think we'll ever reach our full potential when we are trying to do life on our own. It takes godly relationships, a relationship with God, a relationship with good Christians who's going to help us to live life, and in that, a relationship with the good church. Through that, God's going to grow us and to put us on the path where we need to go. Amen. Prayer team, come ahead. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. God, thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. God, that you saw enough value in us while we were still sinners, while we were still in our grossness and our sin. You saw enough value in us to invest in us. God, I pray today, God, that we allow you to use us. God, what you've invested in us, help us to invest in other people. God, surround us with people, God, that will be that support for us. That will be there to help us when we're struggling. That we can be there to help them when they struggle. God, I just pray for godly relationships in our life. Thank you for this church. God, thank you for what you're doing here. God, I just humbly ask that you continue to use us. God, as we serve you, God, as we seek your heart, God, as we share the love of Jesus with people, God, continue to use us, continue to grow us, God, continue to spread our influence, continue to help spread the edges of our tent out so that we can be a bigger influence in this community, not for our glory, but for your glory. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer today, come on up here. Let's stand together. Let's worship. And I believe that God spoke to you today, that the Holy Spirit spoke to you in your life. I know that because that's my prayer anytime I get up and speak, that it's not me that speaks to you, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Maybe you need to pray with someone about something. Come ahead. These guys are here. Maybe you're not comfortable with that. Grab your neighbor. Pray with them. Reach out to God today. I want you to respond to God today and the message that He put in your heart today and how you want to do that. Let's sing.